Okay, turn your Bibles tonight to 2 Peter chapter number 3, chapter number 2, as we are in 2 Peter, and that great book written for the last days, 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 21 of chapter 1 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." But chapter 2 starts off with a very important word of contrast. "But there were false prophets also among the people." The very time that the men of God, holy men of God, were being moved by the Spirit of God to give us the inspired scriptures, at that very time in history, there were also false prophets. And we have a picture of a continuing spiritual battle that has taken place ever since the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, we have that battle. And the Lord said that there would be enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And we see that enmity in chapter number 4 of Genesis as Cain killed Abel. And we have the godly seed versus the ungodly seed. We have the man who is holding to the truth of salvation, the truth of God's message versus one who rejects that message and who persecutes the one and opposes the one who is holding the truth. We find in the Bible that there's this constant warfare of those who are against God opposing those who are for God. We find the constant battle of those in error opposing those who hold the truth. And even as in history, we find those persecuting those who are in error, who are of Satan, persecuting and opposing those who are of God, a constant battle. And we see that battle continued in the last days. A battle between truth and error. And so it says, as they were holy men of God, they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, we find that they were also false prophets. But now, the present day, aspect of it, it says, even there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by means of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And so we find that will be this continuing battle of truth versus error. It's interesting, you know, in the last two centuries, there's been a great battle against the Bible. And in the 1800s, the school of rationalism, combined with the school of evolution, came up with the Westcott-Hort text. And that text was based on the rationalistic evolutionary theory that the Word of God could not be preserved, and that it had not been preserved, and that these men were going to come up with the so-called Word of God. And it was born in the spirit of rationalism and the spirit of evolution, spirit of unbelief. And that spirit of unbelief permeated the denominations. There are some people that I know that were in part of that battle in the American Baptist Convention. And among that battle over the Bible. And there was a real battle. And the liberals, the modernists, denied the inspiration of the Bible. They denied the divine nature of the Bible. They denied the preservation of the Bible. And they were quite the sly old foxes. They hid their evil teaching by niceness. Oh, he said liberals are always nice. And naive people always are attracted to nice people. Not that you shouldn't be nice. But evil people, teachers are usually nice. The most wayward teachers in a college are usually very nice. And most people weren't wise enough to know how to find out what these people really believed. You would ask them, oh, do you believe in the inspiration of the Bible? They'd say, of course I believe in the inspiration of the Bible. And so then people say, well, you see, there's nothing wrong with them. They're fundamental. You know, why are you opposing, you know, why are you saying that they're heretics? Well, if you asked them again the right question, they would say, of course, yeah, and I believe in the inspiration of the Reader's Digest too. And if you ask them about the deity of Christ, they'd say, oh, yes, I believe in the deity of Christ. But if you ask them the right question, they'd say, yeah, I believe in the deity of man too. But it's interesting. I remember some folks that were a part of that battle. And a denomination was taken over by them, and they had to leave. And they said to me, Ron, the battles that are taking place today are exactly the same. The battle between fundamentalism and new evangelicalism is the same battle. It's just got different faces on it. It's just a little bit more subtle. It's just a little bit more deceptive. Now, let's look at what the Bible says about these false teachers. I think it's important that we look at. First of all, it says, there shall be false teachers. And so we have a surety, a statement that there definitely will be false teachers. Don't put your head in the sand and think everything is fine. The Bible says there will be false teachers. And so we are assured of the existence of false teachers. Now, it's sad to look, but let's see where the location of these false teachers are. It says, even there shall be false teachers among you. Oh, really? You mean we aren't talking about the university professors? You mean we aren't talking about, you know, the so-called religious scholars at Oxford University? No! It says they will be among you. They will be invading the churches. They will have the label Christian. They're among you. Now notice what it says. Notice their method. Who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Privily. You know, we have that word means, you know, kind of secret. You know, old times they talked about the privy. You know, it speaks of something secretive. Ananias and Sapphira, when they kept a secret to themselves, and tried to keep it from the Lord and the apostles, it said they were privy one to another to this lie. You know, it has kind of a negative connotation. You know, I don't like the whole look of secrets. You know, when kids are talking secretively, when they're talking behind the teacher's back, when they're trying to hide something from authority, you know, they're up to no good. That's never good. That's not a good characteristic. It almost reeks of evil. Privily. Now notice what it says in 2 Timothy. In chapter 3. In verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. One of my professors in seminary, John Holland, he was an interesting fellow. He got saved and he went to the Episcopal Seminary, and then he went to another seminary, and I don't remember all the places he went, but, you know, he was a fundamentalist. He was in New Evangelicalism, and he realized that New Evangelicalism was compromised, was going against the Bible, and he left it. He was in Latin American mission, and New Evangelical mission, he got out of it, and he became fundamentalist. And so he had this varied background, and he talks about his seminary training. He says, talks about going to this one seminary, and they were studying 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And he's in this class, and the professor says, now, we all know that Paul didn't write 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. But, you know, the people think that he wrote 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, so we'll pretend like he did. But we know he didn't. If you know Dr. Monroe Parker, he was an unsaved, brilliant scholar in a Southern Baptist University, I think it was Mercer College, and a leading Southern Baptist institution, unbelieving, modernistic, and he was a brilliant young man in the ministerial class. And there's a big Southern Baptist church that was open, and the president of the university got him into this big, prestigious Southern Baptist church, very large membership, and he became the pastor. And it came to be about Easter Sunday, and Dr. Parker, Monroe Parker, went to this seminary professor, the president of the college or whatever it was, and he said, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, it's Easter Sunday. And you know what? I don't believe in the resurrection. You don't believe in resurrection. What are we going to do? What am I going to do? You know, Resurrection Sunday. And you know what the president of the Mercer University said? I don't know if it's Mercer, but big, prestigious Southern Baptist school. That's what I think about. You'll know a little bit about Southern Baptist when you hear this. He said, just preach it. Just preach it. The people believe it, so just preach it. You know, so many people are so naive that they think that these neo-evangelicals and these liberals don't know better. They know better. They know better. What does the Bible say? Who shall privily bring in damnable heresies. You know, it kind of reminds me of charlatans like Benny Hinn. You know, I don't know exactly the story, but you know, he's one of those guys, you know, he'd give a lot of money and so he had one of these deals where you give a lot of money, and they had, so these gold flakes fell down from the ceiling. And, you know, a very interesting thing. You'd think, man, people ought to know better than that. Oh, yeah? Thousands flock to him. Thousands flock to him. Notice what it says. Notice there the effect, verse 2, of these false teachers. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. You say false teachers, secretly bringing in damnable heresies, kind of being like the Obama administration that says, you know, the people are stupid, and so we can do these things. Well, that's what the false teachers are. They know they're all about seduction. They're all about lies. They're all about sneaking. They're all about playing the game. And you say, oh, people aren't going to fall for that. They're going to fall for that. They're going to know their Bible. See what the Bible says. What does it say? And many shall follow their pernicious ways. Many. It didn't say some. It said many. Now that's not a very complimentary statement, is it? Now where are these teachers? Where are these false teachers? Remember? Among you. Who are they? Believers. New Testament churches. Among them. How many are going to follow them? Many? Many? Now we could say, why? Because people don't know their Bibles. Why would people follow them? Because people have itching ears. They have itching ears. They want to hear what they want to hear. They don't want to hear what they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear the truth, maybe. They don't want to hear something that, you know, it's so sad. So many parents, they raise their kids the way they were raised, even though they were raised in an unsaved home. You ever figure that out? That's not very wise thinking, is it? And they're going to say, nobody's going to tell me how to raise my kids. Really? I think that you would be flocking to successful Christians and say, tell us what to do. It says, many shall follow their pernicious ways. Now, there's a really sad thing here. That, have you ever read the Bible in Revelation 12? It tells us that the king of this bottomless pit, his name is called what? Apollyon. Ever heard that? Apollyon. The destroyer. In this passage of Scripture, there's at least four times where that root word is used. Apollyon. We find it in verse 1. And bring upon themselves swift destruction. Apollyon is the destroyer. Verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Apollyon, destructive ways. It says, verse 3, and through covetous they shall make with feigned words, make merchandise of you whose judgment now a long time lingereth not, and their damnation. That's the word Apollyon. It's destruction. Destruction. No, there is a result of the work of these teachers. Destruction. Destruction. There's people destroying their lives all the time. There's young people destroying their lives. There are Christian families destroying their families. There are people being destroyed by false teachers. Destruction. It's real. You know, if my heart aches about these people who are so foolish to listen to this stuff, and you know, there used to be this family in Maquonago. Some of you would know them. And man, you know, when we first met them, you know, they, it was like, oh boy, you know, they really want to raise their family for God, and they have a lot of kids, and they're homeschooling, and boy, you know, they really want to be godly. We start watching them. Pretty soon, the wife is starting to dress real fancy. They get a little bit of money. Pretty soon, the kids, especially the girls, get kind of flirty and start dressing kind of worldly. You know, their dress is getting a little shorter. Gladys, I heard that family is now in one of the most liberal mega church in the area. Down, 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 down. That's what happens. Down. Down. Notice it says, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. By whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. That kind of gives us a little insight, puts it right where we're at today. The way of truth being evil spoken of. Think of the Lord. Most perfect man, the most perfect man ever to walk on the face of the earth, because he was perfect. And what did they say about him? He's a glutton. What did they say about him? He's full of Beelzebub. He's Beelzebub's servant. The way of truth is evil spoken of. You know, how does that start? How does it get to the place where, you know, doing right is spoken of as evil? And remember, these are people who profess to be Christian. They're in the church. We're not talking about some heathen. Now, they are heathen, but they pretend to be Christian. The way of truth is evil spoken of. What did Cain have to say about Abel? Now, Cain was following the Lord, wasn't he? He is following the Lord. Abel was following the Lord with a blood sacrifice. What did Cain say? Ha ha! No way! Teacher's pet! Something like that. You know, I told one of our young people, I said, you know, this is a little bit off the sermon, but I said, do you know Stephen Raines? He says, yeah. I says, you know, Stephen Raines, the beginning of our academy, do you know that he was made fun of? They made fun of him. kids right in this church. They made fun of them. They mocked them. They said evil things about him. They said he was the teacher's pet. I don't want to tell you where those kids are today. But the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You know, some of you young people that have evil things to say about those that are doing good, think about it. Where does it start? Where does it start? But that's what Christianity is all about. I guarantee if you came to this church, I could probably imagine the Perleburgs, when they came to this church, there's all sorts of people that warned them, don't you go to that church. Had all sorts of evil things to say about this church. Evil things. I hope you aren't in that spirit. Notice, it says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Through covetousness they with feigned words shall make merchandise of you. Our missionary to Cameroon, he was visiting a college, a fundamental college, that has now gone into an evangelicalism. And he heard a professor giving counsel to a ministerial student. And he said to this fellow, he says, now you don't want to be a pastor. You know, if you're a pastor, you know, you'll always be on duty. You know, but if you become a professor, you just can put your time in and walk away from the classroom and you got all this free time. And, you know, you don't want to be a pastor and taking all those things, right? But, man, you don't want to be. That's just hard work. You want an easy job. And this missionary said, you know, that really bothered me. That really bothered me. That they were making the ministry a job. And it was about making money. You know, that school has left fundamentalism, is now part of the Southern Baptist Convention. But think of the spirit behind that. Think of the spirit behind that. Do you have any idea what's going on in Africa? What's Africa like? You know, Africa is ripe for false teachers. And I tell you why and how. Africa has the chieftain mentality. I think our president has a chieftain tribal mentality. And so in Africa, when I was there, Pastor Moore said, you know, the big church next to us, they have healing services. And a lady came in, her husband had cancer. And they said, she said, Pastor, can you heal my husband? They said, of course. And she said, how much is it going to cost me? $50,000. You got to give $50,000. And we can pray for him and he'll be healed. And so they gave $50,000. And I can't say they prayed for him because I wouldn't want to call that praying. And of course he died. And the lady came back and said, I want my money back. You didn't heal my husband. Oh, no, that wasn't our fault. It was yours. You didn't have enough faith. You know, what's that calling? Making merchandise of you. Making merchandise of you. Have you, you know, this isn't really part of the sermon, but let me ask you a question. Have you ever figured out why these big churches that have millions of dollars don't have Christian schools? If anybody could afford to have a Christian school, they could. They have thousands of people. They have all sorts of money. Do you know why they don't have Christian schools? You ever think about that? Because if they had a Christian, well, Christian school, it wouldn't be Christian. If they had a Christian school, they'd have to say something about maybe what's right or what's wrong. And if they would make a stand on what's right or what's wrong, there'd be about half their people wouldn't agree with them. And then they wouldn't have a mega church. It's, you know what it's about? Secretivism. Playing a game. There's a lot of games being played in the name of religion. Notice, it says, they through feigned words. I was just thinking about this, and it reminded me of President Obama's State of the Union address. He started the State of the Union address reading a letter from a lady. And this lady said that, you know, in 2008, we really had tough times, and we had to go back to school, and we had economic difficulties, and thank the Lord. Well, it didn't say thank the Lord. They certainly didn't say that. You know, and thank the government, you know, whatever, you know, that, you know, everything turned around, And they portrayed this lady from Minnesota as just, you know, a regular person that wrote to the president out of the blue and just was praising his policies. And it was all a con game. This woman was a Democratic operative. This is a woman who worked in the Democratic Party and who even in May had a private meeting with the president. And they faked this whole, she probably wrote it, but it was all meant for deception. And our president reads it to the whole nation as though he's telling the truth when he's telling a lie. And if you read the ratings, it talked about how all these people were enamored with the speech and how it was so wonderful and how President Obama had done such a wonderful job and our country was doing so well. Notice what it says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. And they through feigned words shall make merchandise of you. Wow. You know, we don't like to have to... Think about this. But this is what the Bible says. You say, well, who would follow that? I don't know the answer to that. But maybe we have an insight into it. 2 Thessalonians. In chapter 2 and verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because, why? Why do these people, why are they following after the Antichrist? taking them to be the Messiah when he's of the devil. What does it say? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall give them strong delusion because they received not the love of the truth. Think of what Timothy says. It says, we didn't get to finish all this passage in Peter, but it says in 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts. Because they loved not the truth. You know, a little thing is big. A little thing is big. When a person does not love the truth, when a person resists the truth because they want to live their own way, these are the kind of people who are deceived by these great deceivers. On the other hand, how does God lead people out of that? How does God people lead out of that? It's really the opposite. When people love the truth and will pay a price to obey the truth, they will not be deceived by the deceiver. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether I speak of God or I speak of myself. If any man will do his will, and you know, there's a sense in me, although, you know, I got to be careful, but there's a sense in me, I say, you know what? Whew, praise the Lord. I'm 65. Am I still a fundamentalist? Man, thank the Lord. I didn't go astray. But then I think of young people. And I think of all the opportunities in life to go the wrong way. And you know how it starts out? Not loving the truth. Not loving the truth. Not receiving the truth. Resisting the truth. Having something in your life that you won't let go. You love sin so much you won't let it go. And you know, I can think of some of my acquaintances in Bible college. I think of this one young man who... nice guy, liked him a lot. But he's a big compromiser. I don't even know if he's gone as far as the emerging church or not, but he's probably pretty close. But I remember him at Bible college. He is on the edge. The rules. If he could get away with it, he'd get away with it. I remember there's one fellow that was in the room next to me at Bible college. And I remember him. And I was the monitor. And I remember those fellows in that room. And it was kind of like, you know I better not go in that room because I'm going to find something that's not good. One of those men became very prominent in fundamentalism. But he's no longer fundamentalist. Now, these things just don't pop up out of the sky. It's a lifestyle. It's an attitude. And it comes out in the wash. Those are the kind of people that get deceived. Those are the kind of people that get led astray by the false teachers. But thank the Lord, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Praise the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We all know our weakness, and we all know we're vulnerable, and we all could fall. So we dare not be so foolish as to resist the truth. We dare not be so foolish that we won't submit to the truth of God's word because it's going to cost us something. We dare not. We dare not be of that number that says, someone gave a testimony. Oh yeah, Mrs. Haynes. She gives this testimony, this family, listening to the Disney sermon 3 times. Not that it was the greatest sermon in the world, but let me ask you a question. What does that tell you? You know what it tells me? I don't know anything about these people. It tells me, you know what? I think they want to know the truth. I think they want to know the truth. Do you get the point I'm making? Either you can have the spirit that says, I want the truth, or you can say, you can be of the spirit that says, don't bother with me, the truth. I want to do it my way. I don't want to be, you know, told what to do. No one's telling you what to do, but trying to tell you the truth. Amen. The false teachers are here, they have come, they will continue, and they will get a large following. And what will be the result? They will destroy lives. They will destroy lives. They will bring in condemnation from God. Not only destruction in this life, but destruction, condemnation from God. Those are serious things, aren't they? The battle has always been going on. It's not going to stop. And it's a battle over the truth. Oh, yeah, the battle is pictured and it's focused in the Bible. I firmly believe it's about the Bible and the Bible versions, the Greek text. Yeah. But it's also in the application of truth to life. It's all about the Bible and truth, isn't it? We live in serious days. You know, I think it's good for us, and I think it's good for you young people to ask yourself a serious question. You know, you think, well, it isn't such a big deal. You know, I kind of want to do it my way, this area of my life. I say, it may not be a very big deal, but it might be. It may not be a very big deal, but it might be. It might reveal an attitude that produce a weakness that would cause you to be deceived and deluded by false teachers somewhere down the line. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. There's none of us that would be here tonight except by your grace. We'll only find in heaven about all the times that you intervened in our life. And you helped us overcome foolish decisions. You protected us from sinful paths. Lord, we can only say it's by your mercy. But Lord, we are living in reality. We're living in reality. And there's a great battle going on for the souls of men and women, boys and girls, teenagers. Great battle. And there are plenty of false teachers that are ready to take advantage of the people of God and lead them astray. And Satan is behind it. Lord, might the people of God be helped tonight. Might that parent tonight, Lord, might they just get in their soul the seriousness of life. Might they get within their soul this sense, this spirit that says, we are going to do right as a family. Period. We're going to do right. Lord, I pray that you'd help young people to realize that not only what they know about the Bible is important, but how they live it. And Lord, I pray that truly there will be in us this spirit of wanting to know and wanting to follow the truth. May it be so, Lord. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Familiar theme of 2 Peter. Probably heard these kind of thoughts many times as we've gone through this. But in the mercy of God tonight, the Lord has shown you that instead of being that person who's hungry for the truth, you've been resisting the truth. Instead of wanting to listen to your pastor or your teacher, you've been resisting your pastor or your teacher. Never thought of it as a serious, but maybe the Spirit of God helped you see that it's a spirit of the heart that is very dangerous. And you say, and I realize this is very humbling, but God can give us grace. You say, you know, I realize I've had the wrong spirit about the truth. I only listen if it's forced upon me. I would never eagerly try to find out the truth if it contradicted how I wanted to live. And you say, the Lord is speaking to my heart tonight about wanting to know the truth, wanting to know what is right, wanting to be in the center of God's will. You're a young person. You're an adult. God is speaking to your heart. A night of victory for you. Could you imagine the huge victory that could be for your life and your future descendants, even tonight? And you say, Pastor, God's speaking to my heart. And I'm willing to surrender to Him. I'm willing to surrender. I'm willing to say, God, I want to be in the path of truth. I don't want to resist the truth. I want to be of that spirit. God is speaking to your heart. And just lift up your hand wherever you might be. Okay. Number of hands. Praise the Lord for that. Okay. Amen. Others? Okay? Amen. Okay? Praise the Lord. Any others? Okay, I see that hand in the back. A great opportunity to just open our heart to the Lord. Lord, as familiar as these things are in the hearts of people, they are so big. And Lord, we know that it only can represent truly a tender heart, a responsive heart that would say, yes, I want not to resist the truth, but I want to be in the path of truth. Bless these, Lord. Work in their hearts. We know we can't do it, but you can. And Lord, we thank you that you're a God who sees the heart that is anxious and hungry for you to work. And might you be glorified in their lives, Lord, in a special way. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.